I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by, from Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman, Mr. Matt Truex. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Zach. How you doing, man?
Doing great, doing great. You know what also is doing great? DC Comics, because they're going to make so much money off people like us. Is it next month? Is it August?
I think so. Yeah, August. The DC Universe you're talking about, right?
DC Universe. I've seen no price information about this. Have you?
No, I'm a little worried it's going to go on like more the HBO scale, especially with all this new content that they're throwing up right away.
Yeah, just keep the comic books, because who reads those? Comics are for losers, right?
yeah, exactly. You're
right. Am I? I don't know. Just look at my bookshelf over there, guys. So, but anyway, I'm very impressed by the content of the DC Universe. I actually posted a list before, like when they said, we're going to have shows. I was like, I better have all these shows. And it has most of these shows.
They posted a list already? I've just seen like that graphic of like, look at all these Batman movie posters you love.
Yeah. I saw there's a list of shows that are confirmed. It's not like a final official tally, but definitely the Wonder Woman show from the 70s is on there.
Okay.
Lois and Clark, I believe, is on there, which is great.
That was more listeners, man. That's great.
Now I don't have to buy terrible secondhand copies of season 3 and 4 to follow along with your podcast. I'm very excited.
I don't have to buy you season 3. You like don't I have promised to send I would on this 3. Very show.
Yeah, exactly. So Lois and Clark is on there, which is great, because these are Wonder Woman has been on DVD. It's been, you know, but it's from the 70s, you know, so it's not as well known. I think with the resurgence of Wonder Woman from the movie, that's a great draw for people. I've never seen an episode of Wonder Woman. I've seen like the opening credits, and of course I know the theme song, but that's about it.
It's hit or miss, honestly. When it's hit, it's really fun, but then there are other times where it's just kind of lazy 70s TV.
Yeah, it's basically like the Incredible Hulk, right?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, which I've also seen an occasional episode on like the Sci-Fi Channel when they used to rerun it, but
there's some great Incredible Hulk episodes.
I have it in my Hulu favorites, but I've yet to watch any of them.
Look, I don't know what it's called. Look up, you know, like Incredible Hulk Dangerous Game type episode. He gets trapped on an island with a rich guy that winds up hunting him but doesn't know what he is.
Oh, the Most Dangerous Game.
Awesome episode, yeah.
That's cool. Did you know they filmed King Kong and the Most Dangerous Game on the same sets with most of the same actors?
No, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that log bridge they're running across. Yeah, King Kong's my favorite movie of all time. So that's
really?
How I know that.
Yes. We're talking old school?
1933, the colorized version, right? Because when I was a kid watching on TNT, they was colorized, right? And I was like, it's great. This is my favorite movie. It's color. And then, you know, as time goes on, like colorization kind of goes out of vogue. And it starts showing in black and white. And then it comes out on DVD in black and white. And whenever you see clips of it, it's in black and white. I'm like, whoa, what happened to my favorite movie in color? And they're like, no, it wasn't in color. So I have bought it. It took me $80 in 2011 money, or 2010 money, I think, maybe, to get King Kong on Laserdisc in color. That was like one of my most prized possessions. I need to find a way to digitize it before like I break it or something. But
you know what? I just realized there's another thing that the two of us have in common besides all the Superman stuff. Mm-hmm. We both used to watch something on TNT in reruns quite a lot, which reminds me, welcome back to Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman. I'm Matt Truex, and we're also joined by Zach Moore today because we're doing like a double episode thing here, man.
Yes, this the same exact conversation can be found on Matt's feed and my feed.
Which I'm sure is great marketing to someone, but for us, I think we're just kind of sharing audiences today and jumping right in.
Yeah. Now, if you like the podcast, you know, if you listen, if you're more of a Lois and Clark subscriber and you love the podcast and you love the conversation, listen to it again on Always Holding Smallville and vice versa. If you're an Always Holding Smallville guy, you know, once you listen to it all, just go download it again on Lois and Clark and let's cross pollinate those hits. So how's it going, Matt?
Doing well, man. God, it's nice to talk to you suddenly.
Yeah, happy to be here. Did you see the news? The DC Universe.
You're kidding. Yeah, no, I can't wait for that. What do you think it's going to be, though? Like, in the 12 to 15 range?
Here's the deal. It's weird because I thought, oh, it's a streaming. People are like, oh, do we need another streaming service for movies and TV shows? And no, the answer is no, we don't. But, so what they are also doing, which is interesting, is they have comic books on there.
Yeah.
And it's like, but how do I watch this on my TV? Like, I'm not a big motion comics guy. I've never really... I think Watchmen is the only motion comic I've ever watched.
I've never seen that.
But what's the deal? What do you, when they say we're gonna have comics on here, do you see like, okay, you click and it's like your full screen? Because that's kind of weird to me. Surely they're not gonna animate every panel. What are your thoughts on the whole comic book aspect of this?
I don't know if you've gotten any digital comics. I imagine it's gonna be something like that. In which case, I'm kind of on board for it. Where like in a digital comic, it will show you the page at first. And then zoom in on the panel and give that to you, and then zoom into the next panel and like kind of almost like a slideshow type thing. So I'm interested to see how it's going to work on a TV. Like I've got an Apple TV and how that's going to work out. But if it's cool and easy to use, I might actually use it to read stuff and keep current. You know?
Yeah, that is. If you're going to pay this fee, you might as well use all of its bells and whistles. I mean, I'm about the tangible. Like I love, you know. I'm just talking about Laserdisc, right? I love physical media. I like sitting down with a book, you know, I like reading it. And, like I look at a screen all day long. You know, who doesn't, right, with their job these days? So like I like looking at a piece of paper with words on it.
Words and then really nice pictures of Superman or Batman or something.
Thought bubbles.
Yep.
Great. I like the books with the pictures.
Were you in papers. Line on the morning for the... were you in line on July 4th morning to get the Batman issue? The Batman non-wedding?
No. I like everyone else in America, I was kind of spoiled on what was going to happen in Batman number 50. Were you spoiled? Did you know?
I was spoiled by a headline. Like I was spoiled by a little like, well, here goes that. So I didn't look into it, but I kind of knew it wasn't going to be a marriage.
Holy Wonder Woman Bride, Batman.
Yeah. I really liked the issue though. I really liked how they did it.
You see, it's kind of a bait and switch. I understand why a lot of people are upset. Spoilers for Batman 50, if, you know, if New York Times can spoil it, we can spoil it here, right?
Good point. They had to have a whole meeting about it, though. We're not going to do that.
Focus groups and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, Batman and Catwoman, apparently this has been building up for 50 issues. They were going to get married. Didn't happen, right? She left them at the altar because she was worried if Batman was happy, he wouldn't be Batman anymore, which is interesting concept. But people are upset because literally, like, there's so much build up to this, and then they don't get married. It's like the death of Superman, but Superman didn't die. So I understand why people are upset. But you, I haven't read it. I might read it at some point. I have some friends that do read comics. You know, people who are more nerdy than me, of course. You know,
better nerds.
You know, Lance. You know, you've heard them all on the show. You know, but so they've read it. Most of the people I know that have read it did actually like it. What did you think, Matt?
I liked it a lot. I thought the way they do it without giving much away, it's kind of structured where they'll have little bits of the scene of them getting ready for their day with their various best man and my God, maid of honor.
Maid of honor.
But then they'll go away to guest splash pages of just a nice, cool image of like Tim Sale drawing Batman and Catwoman again. Oh. And have little thought bubbles over it on each page. That's like one page is Catwoman, one page is Bruce, and they're basically, it's their vows, it's their letters to each other that they've written.
In the series finale of Smallville, where we're like, we're gonna spend half the episode on Lois and Clark's wedding. What a genius idea.
Because
when I sat down to watch Smallville for the first time in 2001, I thought, man, this show's gonna end with Lois and Clark's wedding, where they also don't get married, by the way. So I guess that's a DC Comics
well, at least thing. Your show only had one of those. We had a couple. That's
right. So that, again, that is the best comparison, right? Yeah. The Lois and Clark wedding. They made a huge deal out of this, like in season 3. Mm-hmm. Right? And then she was a frog-eating clone. I do remember mm-hmm. that. I have vague memories of that.
How can you possibly forget that? Is the
And then they had to, I believe, in season four, they actually did get married. And I believe the title was, correct me if I'm wrong, Honest to God, This Time We're Not Kidding.
Yep.
Too little, too late, but I do appreciate the self-awareness there.
Yeah, this is literally the first time we're discussing this on Lois and Clark here. But
spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Ryan's
guys.
Ryan's not here, so we're good.
Lois and Clark get married kind of twice in the show.
It's when I think about that wedding, their final wedding on Lois and Clark, that I think Ryan's going to quit. He's just going to leave the podcast, and that's going to be the end of it, because it's so fantasy. It is so just clearly writers getting this giant plot point just out of the way and like clearing the board in such a hurried way. It's not great. But,
well, let me ask you this. Did you recognize any of the guests at this wedding on your show?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because who, somebody tell me, who the hell
were
these people at Lois and Clark's wedding? Like, he's got his mom, his ghost dad.
Ghost dad.
Nobody else.
That everyone sees and can talk to, apparently.
No, only Clark.
Oh, okay. Doesn't, like, Martha look at him in the barn when Apocalypse is coming?
Here we go, man.
This is...
Good not
Krypton
good.
Podcast. This is great.
Yeah. So by the way, but before we get, so we're talking about Krypton, the Sci-Fi Channel original. You wouldn't have guessed it, but
can't
the Sci-Fi Channel original series Krypton. But I do want to say one more thing about the DC universe, because we kind of stumbled into talking about that off the top. Some notable exceptions from there. Smallville, not on there.
Really?
I think because, at least to my knowledge, I mean, on the list they've released, I think probably because they have an exclusive deal with Hulu or something.
I was going to ask if you knew about anything about that deal.
Batman 66, not on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably a deal with Fox. Rights. I don't even know if that's streaming anywhere now that I think about it.
It's not streaming. You can buy it on iTunes. But, I mean, they had so many rights and clearances that they had to get those DVDs out. I'm not surprised that it's not streaming.
So, I mean, when the Disney-Fox deal finally goes through, I'm sure we'll never see that again. So I should probably go out and buy the Blu-rays. Lance had them. So, like, I was like, okay, we're roommates and friends. It was like, well, why am I going to buy it too? But I guess I need to buy it now because we're not roommates anymore.
It's so good. Yeah. You got to do it.
No, that's great. That's the great thing about... old TV shows, they were shot in film, so they're just in HD, you know?
Yep.
Unfortunately, stuff like The Flash 1990 shot on videotape. I don't know. I've heard...
That was shot on videotape?
Well, I don't know. See, most of the time in the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s, stuff was shot on film, edited on videotape. So that's why, like, Star Trek The Next Generation, so expensive to, like, redo in HD. And that's why we still haven't seen Deep Space Nine or Voyager. We might never. I don't know. But... I would love to see The Flash, because that is like, if you had to like put a gun to my head, I'm like, you have one superhero show other than Smallville to watch. I'm like, The Flash, 1990. You know,
really?
Love that show. It's a really good show. One season, but it kind of works as one season.
Okay.
You know?
I've only seen like 5 or 6 episodes. I know it's not that long.
Wow, really? Wow. You have to check that out. You would love it.
Yeah, no, I just kind of got the box set and jumped around, you know?
You watch the Mark Hamill episodes?
Of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, Mark Hamill, this is pre-Joker. He was basically, this is a live-action audition to be the Joker. And he comes back as the trickster in the new Flash show. So,
yeah, a couple times.
Anyway, if you know, on the new Flash on the CW, you know those old people that are always hanging around? Well, they're the reason they're on this show is because they were young once, and they were on this show in 1990 in CBS.
And
the reason it lasted
really
one season...
really appreciates them getting a paycheck now, you know?
I know, right? But the reason it lasted one season is because like they kept like moving around the time slot, and then they got preempted a lot for like the Persian Gulf, Gulf War.
Oh,
they were the first one.
Yeah, good
so
reason.
And it was a very expensive show, like
extremely
expensive, and it was hard to keep up. So anyway, much like Supergirl would only lasted one season on CBS, so would The Flash. But unfortunately, there was no WB or CW back then to pick it up, and it only lasted 1 year.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
The more you know, I think Flash is on there. I've went on this whole spiel about it. I think it's on there. I would love to see it in HD.
I think I saw it. I think I saw like just the poster of it in that galaxy graphic that they have. I think you're good. Yeah.
So it's on there.
Birds
I know.
Birds of Prey is on there. Like the Flash.
Birds of Prey. Yes. So when I get to talking about Birds of Prey, because we've talked about that, Matt. You had a Birds of Prey podcast, did you not?
I was so obsessed with Birds of Prey as a kid. It wasn't even funny, and had a wonderful experience meeting the three Birds of Prey out here, and got friendly with Ashley Scott, who played Huntress. She wound up doing an interview for me on that old podcast I had. Like, it was just
awesome.
That was the coolest thing ever, getting to meet her and that's the only show I have like a really cool prop from, but I love it so much.
What do you have? What is it?
I have, if anybody knows the show, they have a, they call it a batarang, but it's a glowing metal birdarang more than anything.
Birdarang.
It's like a silver chromed thing with neon lights in their bird symbol that they use in like three or four episodes. Not
a
much.
Bird of preyrang.
Yes, exactly. It's the coolest thing in the world.
I watched a few episodes of that, so I'm vaguely familiar of it. I currently have, again, when you're roommates, these things happen, right? I currently have Lance's PS3. I inherited it when he got a PS4. I did pay him a little bit for it, though, for the record. So he has all of Birds of Prey on that PS3.
Oh, great.
Because you know, because of the PlayStation Network, you download it, so I can just plug it in and watch it for what if I wanted to. But did you ever watch the unaired pilot of Birds of Prey?
I have watched every piece of Birds of Prey that they've
put out. Okay, I figured you would. So this is back, I think it was other, I guess. Are we still going to talk about Krypton? I think we are.
We will eventually. 2008 is when the DVD, or well, when the DVD of Birds of Prey came out. The show was 2002.
Okay. Yes, yeah, because the second season of Smallville was like the spinoff, because they mentioned metahumans and mm-hmm. meteor rocks. I'm like, meteor it's going to be this we're going to see old Mike Rosenbaum. No, we're not. It's like something, I don't know. But I thought, what was I going to say about that? Who was your favorite Harley Quinn? The one that was in the show or the one that was in the pilot?
I love Mia Sara. I love, she wound up playing it. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, Mia Sara very famously was Ferris Bueller's girlfriend, Sloane, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But I loved her. I understand that she is not comic Harley or anything like that, but what she did with
But she wears that red and black top in the last episode, right?
He tried.
That's where we were in the early 2000s, right?
It was more for her performance. Like, I trusted that she was crazy and could have fallen in love with him, I guess.
Well, and she looked more like the comic book Harley Quinn than whoever the first actress was.
Totally, totally. Yeah.
The first actress looked like kind of like a TV Laura Flynn Boyle. She was on
TV. Twin Peaks with her. Yeah, she was Sherilyn Fenn. But
okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, that just didn't. I think she couldn't commit to the series or something when it happened, and Mia Sara.
Just like
in.
Smallville, you had Cynthia Ettinger, and you had Annette O'Toole. So anyway, how did you not get Annette O'Toole first? I mean, come on. Anyway.
Okay. Hey, when was the first time you heard about this new sci-fi show, Krypton?
Krypton?
Yeah.
Is Krypton going to be on DC Universe?
That's a good question. Will the current shows be? Like, will Flash be?
No, I think none of them are for sure.
Damn.
Will the Incredible Hulk be it? No, that's Marvel.
Okay. Right.
You know what? I keep burying the lead. I'm sorry, but we do need to answer this question. We'll come back to it. How much? You asked me, and then I went on some stupid tangent. How much do we think it's going to cost, and how much are we willing to pay? Matt, you go first.
Right. If it's in the 10 to 20 range, I don't want to go up to 20, but if it's going to be there, I'm in. I can see it being like $15.99 or something like that.
Yeah, I think between 15 and 20 is probably what they're going to charge. I'm sure, so I'm not going to pay anything more than $20 a month
no.
for that.
I'd love to pay.
Because I own most of the stuff already.
Is that? Yeah. But so, will I buy it for the convenience of not trying to find the DVD? Yes, I will. Like that, I'm not proud of that.
I think they're going to have... Oh, well, Batman the Animated Series is going to be in HD for the first time.
Yes, I always forget about that. Also, like, exclusive merch. So, like, we get the opportunity to buy other shit. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait to have that opportunity, right? but the first two seasons of Batman the Animated Series, which is the real one, and then not the new Batman Adventures. Eventually, they'll upgrade it, I guess.
Got you. So just
because that,
just
the seasons on that is so confusing. That's why they released them in four volumes, right?
Okay. And then, of course, like the other DCAU stuff, we're gonna have Justice League.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. They didn't announce any other animated shows yet. I think it's inevitable because you do see it in that giant like poster thing.
Yeah,
And we're talking about that graphic. And but they're for sure gonna have a lot of the animated movies.
Great, which is honestly that'll be great because I'll never buy those DVDs again after the past couple. But
I stopped after the Flashpoint Paradox. Or actually, I didn't get that one because I was like, oh. So I think the Dark Knight Returns is probably their best one.
I agree.
And then it was all downhill from there when they rebooted it. And I was like, I'm not going to watch A Dark Knight Returns without Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. I'm like, you know what? RoboCop makes a pretty good Batman. So I did like it very much. So RoboCop Returns. Did you see that news?
Yeah, that'll be cool.
That's crazy, right?
That's exciting.
I think Peter Weller will come back as a voice and like CGI his face or something. But
I'm into that
like
completely.
A ridiculous out of nowhere years later sequel, but I'm totally on board. So
now, meanwhile, Linda Hamilton's walking around with white hair and about to shoot a
Terminator 6.
You know, like everything's great.
What is this? The third version of Terminator 3? right?
Yeah, I think
rebooting
so.
It like every franchise.
Can we count Sarah Connor Chronicles too?
Well, then it would like be four. Yeah,
yeah.
I like Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, so this first
today's topic
something great, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Great.
So let's get into it for real. Krypton.
Krypton. Right?
When I heard about this, I thought this is the stupidest idea.
Couldn't agree more. I remember I was setting up for a convention for work, and I was reading the article in the elevator, like going up from the ground floor, going like, what the hell are they doing this for? I have nothing to do with this. No part of it whatsoever. Goyer? Really? David Goyer again? I was done. But I mean, I didn't care about all the casting announcements. I really didn't pay attention to this show until it was coming out.
No, literally, it was. They announced it like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then when it finally came time for it to come out, I was like, oh, this is still a thing?
Right. You would have thought it got killed or eaten up by a BVS controversy or something.
Well, they announced so much DC crap, yeah, right, these days. Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker. That's happening.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see exactly how much stuff has been announced, right? Like, DC announces a new movie, like, every week. It's ridiculous. Yeah. They've announced other shows over the years, too. You know, there was going to be, like, a Booster Gold show.
Yep.
There was going to be a Wonder Woman show called Amazon. You know, Mercy Reef with Green Arrow, Justin
Even
Hartley.
Before that, there was going to be a Bruce Wayne show. That
Bruce Wayne?
Smallville.
There was going to be a weird Flash show where he wasn't really the Flash, but he traveled through time and he had, like, a lightning bolt on his backpack.
Have we ever talked about Super Pups? You know about Super Pups.
Oh, who doesn't know about Super Pups? Oh. If you don't know about Super Pups, that better be on there, by the way. I'm not paying my $15.99 for DC Universe's Super Pups is not on there. So after, this is the most morbid thing ever, right? So after George Reeves
it's gross.
Died, committed suicide? Ben Affleck's on the case. Adrian Brody's on the case.
Adrian Brody is going to help Ben Affleck, yeah. Well, he's sleeping with Martha.
I don't think he killed himself, by the way, for the record. But I'm a conspiracy guy, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't think we landed on the moon. That's a whole other conversation. Do I?
We
I
do not have the time for that. You don't think Krypton blew up, but like, I don't trust you, man.
Krypton was an inside job. anyway, what the hell are we talking about?
Birds of Prey at one point.
Birds of Prey. So DC Universe. Did you hear about this?
No. Christopher Reeve. You think George Reeve killed
George Reeves. Yeah. That is a huge pet peeve of mine, by the way. Christopher Reeve, George Reeves. Get it right. I judge people based on if they mess this up or not. I actually got an argument with my history professor in... are they professors in high school? My history teacher.
No.
Like, junior in high school. He was like, yeah, it was George Reeve, Christopher Reeves. I was like, sir, I mean, you know a lot about history, but trust me on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there's a lot of fishy stuff around that situation. I don't think he killed himself. I think it was inside job. Anyway, they still had all these sets, right, from The Adventures of Superman, because it was a very popular show. And so they had some ideas after he died. They're like, oh, well, let's do a Jimmy Olsen show, and we'll like only see Superman like flying away and see his boots and his
cape. You know,
and Jack Larson was like,
part of anything.
This is a terrible taste. I'm not doing this. I'm like, okay, well, crap, what do we do? So what they did, was they got people in life-size dog heads and gloves, like you'd see walking around like Disneyland.
Yeah, like a character appearance type thing. Yeah,
like freaking Bugs Bunny guy character. And they were like, "Oh, I'm these dogs and these droopy voices." It's like kind of like it's basically like Underdog, but in live action, sort of, right?
And like they changed, like he was still Superdog, but they changed all the names slightly. Like I don't even know what it was, but like, you know, some sort of poodle pun into Lois Lane, you know, like that type of thing. It was the Jimmy Olsen thing was in bad taste, but this is not much better. This is gross.
But even so, I want to see that on DC Universe.
I'd love to see it. I've only.
I also want to see. I want to see the Justice League of America 97 pilot.
That's an interesting watch.
Which is the worst, one of the worst things I've ever seen. What's his name? Is the Weather Wizard?
Right, and it's kind of done like a real world. Like they have confessionals to the camera at some point too.
I forgot about that.
Maybe not confessionals, but like interview type. Like I like being Green Lantern because blah 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 blah. You know,
The Green Lantern. That was our first live action Green Lantern.
Yes. We have.
Anyway, that better be on there. So Krypton.
Only hope, right? Krypton. Krypton. Okay, can I jump in right away with like what hooked me for this?
Yeah, so we've kind of established we thought it was a terrible idea, but then it came out and we both loved it. And that's why we're talking about it. So,
well, to be honest, I didn't like the pilot. I don't think you did either, if I remember your podcast
correctly.
Lance
and I did an episode on the pilot. We were like, I mean, our main criticism was like, name me one character. I was like, I don't know anyone's name.
Right. Now, in fairness, I still have the name cheat sheet right next to me here to get us through this next podcast. Yeah, that's still an issue. But then they got into like real DC lore stuff, even just the end of the pilot, just knowing that the, you know, Collector of Worlds was coming. We were going to get our first live action Brainiac, man. That thrilled me.
Hey, don't forget Brainiac was on Smallville.
Oh, damn, you're right.
I mean, he was the T-1000, but he was still there.
He was T-1000. I'm talking, and he looked a lot like Spike. But
Spike 1000
is what
we'll call him. Yeah.
You know, full on green,
blue
suit,
skull ship.
Oh my God. Did they deliver on that stuff?
Why we have seen that on a TV show, on a cable TV show, but we can't get it in a movie is criminal. Criminal.
Unreal. Especially with how well they did it here. You know, like they accomplished Brainiac with no, they didn't really have to compromise on anything. Yeah. You know?
And we see different forms of him throughout the show, which is so interesting because he's a character that really lends himself to that as well.
Right, right. You see him first. God, should we set up this show at all? For like, should we assume our listeners are nerds? But how?
Yeah, how nerdy are they? Right? Do they know? So Krypton. So they shot. They reshot a lot of the pilot, is what I understand.
Oh, okay. There's
a teaser trailer that came out, like I don't know, like 2 years ago.
That's right.
And if you go back and look at it, it was like, well, this isn't in the show. And what I understand from my sources is they, you know who you are, Craig Byrne. but yeah, they ended up reshooting a lot and they added the time travel element, is my understanding, which I think makes the entire show. Like somebody was like, this is a terrible idea, but what if we do this? And that's why the show works, because you understand it's not just like, here's what happened on Krypton before Superman's dad was born. Because that's interesting. Oh my God, Pennyworth! Will you watch that? They're making Alfred prequel.
Oh God, no!
About Alfred meeting Thomas Wayne and being a Secret Service agent.
I mean, yeah, of course I'll watch a little bit of it, but no, that sounds terrible.
But that's the same thing we said about Krypton, and yet here we are.
I know,
seeing its praises.
And I will give it a shot now, and I'll watch the pilot and hate it, and then a couple months later you'll say like you should have been watching that, and then I'll watch it and I'll love it, and here we'll be again.
But anyway, so the plot of Krypton is it's 200 years before Krypton blows up.
Right.
And we see, we meet Kal-El's grandfather, Segel. Who is the father of Jor-El and Zor-El.
And did you catch that was a reference to Jerry Siegel, the co-creator of Superman?
You just blew my mind right now.
Right?
I'm done. I have nothing else to add to this conversation.
I heard that on the thing, but yeah.
You
that,
just won
that
the
was
conversation.
Yep.
But yeah, so I find it interesting that their initial idea was like, yeah, it's just life on Krypton, whatever. But so that's what we thought going into it. But then as the show goes on, you realize, oh, this is like a Star Trek 09 is what this is, basically. This is like time travel reboot kind of situation. And Adam Strange, who was a very strange choice, no pun intended, to be the time traveling character, I would have gone with Booster Gold.
100%. It's so weird that like the time travel element, you're right, makes the narrative so much better, but his character is my least favorite of this whole thing.
Yes. And so heavy spoilers, by the way, for Krypton.
Oh yeah, dude, yeah. Come on.
Not only do we get Brainiac, we get General Zod, played by Walter Steele himself from Arrow, Colin Salmon, who very well may be my favorite General Zod now. Huh?
Oh, he's awesome. I mean, like who else would be there? I mean, I Terrence Stamp is the classic, but is anybody else?
I did a poll on this, and I love all the Zods, really. Terrence Stamp is like classic.
I really like Callum Blue.
Callum Blue is great on Smallville. He basically is playing a young Terrence Stamp, and he does a great job of it, right? Mm-hmm. Michael Shannon is awesome. He makes the role all his own. Michael Shannon is an amazing actor.
Okay.
Like, I will watch any movie he's in, and he was just very intense, and I thought he was one of the best parts of Man of Steel, and probably, the DC Extended Universe, do we still call that? Anyway, he's the best villain in there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. My feelings towards his Zod are just so tainted by the feelings to the rest
Heresy!
Of the
Heresy!
And then I don't, like, there was a General Zod on Supergirl season one, but I don't really remember.
That's so stupid. Superman got hit by silver kryptonite from friend Lois Lane,
right?
Queen Rhea, right?
Who oh, was, But yeah,
Mon-El's mom, right, and then Superman saw Supergirl as Zod, and he was like some blonde guy who was a stunt actor on Smallville,
right?
Basically, who played Zod for like he was a Vision for like you know.
I forgot. Very I watched scenes. That whole thing too. I forgot about that.
But anyway, yeah, the General Zod is in this because it was funny. I think in the first. The last time we talked about Krypton, me and Lance were talking about it. Like, oh, man, so that means the Zog is going to be black. I'll be Idris Elba. And, of course, like, oh, Idris Elba is everybody. But Idris Elba would make a good Zod. But who is TV's Idris Elba?
Colin Salmon.
Love it.
I mean, like, I love him back from the Bond days, you know, but, like, to see him here as Zod. And I love that they're incorporating that. Like, this is not the show that I thought it was going to be,
and
really,
he makes
at
it
all.
A fully... three-dimensional fleshed out character.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't hate your grandson, I hate what he represents and how he turned his back on his culture, and you're like, man, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of, I agree, you know.
Yep. I never even knew his first name before, and now I know, you know, like
that's
it's
in some
cool.
comic somewhere, and I was like, oh, it's not just Zod.
No, I looked that up, that is real. Okay, and then there's the big crazy kind of familial element to the Zod.
Yes. Yeah, where the Zods are the Luthers basically of Smallville.
Yes,
Krypton, right?
But also we kind of learned that General Zod is Superman's uncle, right? Yeah.
Is that how it works?
That's how that works. Because he,
yes!
General Zod
right.
is Jaina Zod, or no, Light, I had to look at the cheat sheet. Yeah. Light Zod and Segel's son.
Which, do you believe that?
Yeah.
Okay, because the blood kind of confirms it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So what we're talking about, oh my God, there's just so much.
You know what, guys? Just watch the show and then listen to this because we can't explain everything.
Too much to get into. You're right.
We talked about, we'll circle back around this real quick, but we mentioned Brainiac, mentioned Zod. We'll keep talking about Zod. Doomsday is in this, right?
Doomsday.
Already the best Doomsday in live action.
Yep. Oh my God. Just the fact that they built a physical, you know, monster to be in that coffin like that made me happy. But then to see him break out.
We see the death of Superman, punching kind of panel. They replicate it. So at the end, boom, 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 the fist goes through.
Totally right.
Yeah. Season 2, Doomsday is on Krypton. Spoilers.
And the Skull Ship is still there too, right? Brainiac's still there.
I want to talk about that. We'll put a pin in that because that's I didn't
let's save like
the finale.
Yeah, hopes and dreams for season two later on. Okay,
right. But but yeah. So this show, So Zod is basically Superman's evil uncle, right?
Yeah.
And evil uncle is a trope, you know, of fiction. And what we've all had evil uncles, we all know, you know, to various degrees, right? We all know what's going on there. So I think that's.
Narratively.
I definitely had an evil uncle. He's no longer around, thankfully. But anyway, hashtag too real, right? But
sorry,
guys. Anyway, you know, not everybody's life is can be like Segel here. So, Zod is Superman's uncle. Do you like that familial connection? Do you not? I mean, Zod and Jor-El were kind of like brothers, like, right? Like friends.
Right.
But now they're like literally your brothers. What do you think?
Good,
about?
Yeah, good friends. It doesn't bother me, honestly. I don't know why I don't have a stronger fan reaction to it, but I think it's fine. He's still. Superman Clark is still removed enough from General Zod that I feel like that familial connection doesn't really matter to him.
And they didn't like no one knew it was like a
secret. It doesn't change things, but if anything, it would add a little more gravitas to them fighting if they ever did. So I was into it. Mm-hmm. I also didn't realize that's from Superman Earth One, the Geoff Johns. Miniseries.
No, that is J. Michael Straczynski, actually.
Oh,
Geoff Johns
me.
Wrote Batman Earth One. Yeah, J. Michael Straczynski, writer creator of Babylon 5, which everybody go check that out. That's a great show.
Wow,
ever watch B5?
No, never did.
Can that get on DC Universe? I'll buy it then.
Yeah, right. Tracy Scoggins, Cat Grant's in there.
There you go. Hey, it is on Amazon Prime. If anybody has that.
Oh, so, good.
There you go. You know, I read Superman Earth One, Volume 3. I think the one was Zod. I had no memory of that. I have no memory of him being his uncle. So.
Got it. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Earth One stuff. I jumped ship there, but a friend's trying to get me back into it. But I didn't realize that. I wanted to do a dive and do some research there, but I guess that's the only other place that's come from before. How do you feel about it?
I don't mind it. I mean, it's kind of inconsequential in the grand scheme of things as far as where Superman is related.
Right.
We only know about it because we are back in time here, you know.
Right,
and
he doesn't necessarily need to know about it ever, I guess.
And I think it was a great misdirect with a Dev-M.
Dev-M.
Right? Look at your cheat sheet. Is that his name?
I don't remember. Who?
Dev-M.
Oh, the betrothed guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so like, oh, that's Zod's dad. Duh. Like, nope, it's right. not.
So. Nope. What do you think of these other characters here? Like, we talked about Seg. Lyta is his Zod, like, secret girlfriend.
That... Which is a trope, I think. Right. You're like, oh, it's Dark Romeo and Juliet.
But yeah, exactly. Fine.
But I'm not on that ship. I'm on the other ship for Seg.
Me which too. I'm
glad the season ended that way.
Yeah. Just going to bring that up. Nyssa, is she going to be, you know, the mother of Jor-El?
This is the most ridiculous statement I've probably ever made on this podcast, but I really hope that woman is Superman's grandma.
Yeah, me too.
She's got like the, like,
me too.
I basically just said, yeah, the Tasha Yar girl, you know, that's why, but I initially did learn her name because, you know, the haircut and the blonde and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I really hope, I think that's where they're going. Like, even like at the last couple episodes, they kind of, it was interesting how he kind of drifted over to her over the course of the season. So,
and to see her that, I don't know that that's going to be Jor-El, but to see her that protective of the baby and just like, she started as just kind of like, the evil chick that's supposed to seduce him at first,
right.
and then became my favorite character in the show in a lot of ways, to be honest. I also like older, I like Mom Zod, I like Jaina Zod a lot.
She is a badass.
Yeah.
Like, she would have killed General Zod, right? And that's why Jaina interfered.
And she's got that awesome, like, she's talking to Lyta at one point, talking to her about, like, you know, growing up, you always fought back and challenged authority, and I hated that. But no, that, like, you should have been, and you're doing great. Mm-hmm. But then Lyta's already kind of going over
far.
To her son, General Zod's side, and betraying them. It's just, like, it was a nice to see that shift in the dynamic that quickly in what, a 10-season show, you know? They did a nice job.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And talk about quickly. This show goes by really quick.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they do not, there's no filler. There is no, like, oh, here's the episode where we get they're not acting like themselves, and here's the episode where they write all the tropes, right?
And today, Seg-El is blind, you know?
Yeah, oh, very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, but at the same time, I think something is lost in the fact that we were talking about, like, hey, what's your favorite episode? I'm like, I don't know, they all kind of blur together.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a favorite episode. Like, what I was trying to come up with for this was just, like, writing down favorite moments, favorite scenes, favorite, you know, story arcs or Easter eggs, that type of thing.
I know my least favorite episode is the one that focuses on Adam Strange. I think that's the eighth episode, if I recall correctly.
That's the one where he gets frozen in the thing. And
well, that's the one where we get these random flashbacks to him in that hallway talking to people from Rand, because we ran out of the budget and we only hear him on the intercom. I don't understand what that was. So.
I also don't know much about Adam Strange, really. I think I've seen him in, like, a Batman Brave and the Bold, but that's about it.
Nor do I really care.
Yeah, well, there's that. If presented well and he's a cool character, I can be on board. But they make him too much of, like, the kind of shitty earthling here. And it's not as, I don't know. I want more of the adventure through space.
I thought it was a little bit, he got slightly interesting when he decided, like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to make this planet blow up. I'm going to make a deal. And we are going to do this because we need to save Superman. Like, that's when it got really interesting, I think, in the last two or three episodes, because... obviously from Seg's point of view, like, well, I don't want my planet to blow up. What are you talking about? Like, cause you're waiting. You're like, for that reveal of, like, eventually they're going to find out that what Adam wants to happen is for the planet to blow up. And I don't care what the future is. They're like, hey, look, we got to worry about the lives now. I don't care about some hypothetical future. And I thought that was a very interesting dilemma for them to be in.
I thought so too. One of my favorite scenes in the series was them. Like, Seg's got a gun to Adam, just like, no, like, that's we're not way. Doing this. You're not blowing up. And Adam just pleading, like, I can't tell you how important it is that your planet blows up and your grandson gets off it. Like,
put yourself in that position. That's just, like, you cannot think about that.
At that point, you're pleading for a guy to let his own planet be destroyed so that your planet can ultimately be saved and go on for generations, you know, like it's such a complicated little moral dilemma in such a crazy fantasy way, but I loved their discussions and everyone's acting and writing was really good in that scene too.
There's not a bad actor in this whole thing.
No, it's really not.
I thought what is his friend's name?
Oh, the bartender?
Yeah.
Kim.
Kim. I thought he might be like the weaker link, and he's not really a weak link. And then his whole little subplot with Ona.
Is she the little girl that gets...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who goes all, like, Al-Qaeda.
Yep. That was cool. Like, I like the idea of, we never learn much about the guy himself, but the voice of Rao, this religious...
Let's talk about the voice of Rao.
Yeah, that's this religious zealot, really, that's kind of taken over the government there.
Like, you thought, in the pilot, right, you thought, oh, there's a future Brainiac and a past Brainiac, and right, because Adam's like, oh, somebody went back in time, like, which one's which, and you realize, oh, no, there's no Brainiac that went back in time.
No, that was just...
Zod went back in time. So that was a very good misdirect, and it didn't contradict anything, I don't think.
No, not
so. We saw this guy voice around. He's wearing this mask all the time. Like, oh, he's gonna be like, what's the reveal gonna be? But no, he was just some guy that the Century, I think, took over. Right.
Yes. Yeah. This guy with an awesome voice. So Brainiac lucked out for that one.
Yeah. Right. But, that made me think of Superman 3 when she got turned into the cyborg. Right. Was that not scary when you were a kid when you saw that?
Oh. Sorry, I didn't hear that at all. What was that?
Superman 3, right? Where What's-Her-Face gets turned into a cyborg?
Yeah, that was creepy as a kid.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that made me think of when he was like, ah! Scary
that
stuff.
Was, his whole transformation over those couple episodes where you feel like the organic body is kind of decaying and he's just got blood and crap all
he
over
him. He starts wearing gloves, yeah.
Yeah, and he just doesn't care. You know, like, he's just this
well, it's
entity
interesting.
That's there.
It's, I don't know, it was just really creepy. Like, no one knew that he was Brainiac for like two or three episodes. Like, that's, and of course no one would, because no one can like see his face and all that stuff. I can't really put my finger on it, but I thought it was very interesting and very effective.
I agree. It was kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing feeling of you know, we know the secret in
and
the
his,
room.
His talking to, you know, Ona, the little girl, and like kind of like, you know, brainwashing her, like, oh, I'm gonna go mm-hmm. be with mother now and all that. It's like, oh no, kid, it's not how it works. So
gross. They blew up a kid on his show. You know, they suicide bombed a kid. It was kind of intense for a second.
Yeah. It's in your grandfather Superman.
No. I was impressed that I kind of thought, you know, just initially that the series was going to be, look at this amazing society that then plummets down. But then the end of the show is like, well, the best thing that we do is save another world by giving them him, you know? Mm-hmm. But I like that we're kind of, I feel like we're going to ultimately be pulling Krypton or the society together a little bit more, which makes what is going to happen ultimately even more tragic.
Well, yeah, you're thinking like, I thought Krypton concept, right? Okay, right. This is going to be a mini series about like Jor-El and Zod, and then it ends with the planet blowing up, you think, right? But this is, they're setting this up to be multiple seasons and all this, so now we live within, as you know, we'll get to in a second here, this is an alternate universe or an alternate timeline or something, right?
Yes.
So yeah. They can do whatever they want. Which is great, because now we don't know what's going
to
happen.
Back to the future rules apply, basically. We can,
Time continues on its current course. I'm more of the Terminator school of time travel, like Predestination Paradox. What about you? Where do you
fall? Is that ultimately what Terminator wound up being about?
No, but the original Terminator was.
Okay,
and
great.
Sort of Terminator 2, but after that, it all just goes to hell. So.
Just for the story and the like writing of it, I like the puzzle of it was all as it always was, and you just didn't see that Doc Brown was behind there the whole time, you know. The fun, the mystery of this now is, you know, through this whole season, they've got, I've always likened it to like the Beauty and the Beast rose. They've got Superman's cape, and it's slowly disintegrating as it goes. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the season, it's an amazing moment, and it's fully there, and it just fully formed. And you see the S back, and then the S turns to the Zod sigil.
Like, yeah, when you see that, you're like, what's going on here? Like, oh, no.
So now I love that that's kind of going to be sitting there for season two, I presume, for at least a couple episodes, if not the whole season, of like, we have to turn that back to L.
What did you think about that scene, right? What did you think about Val-El not being dead? Where he was actually in the Phantom Zone.
I liked that move a lot. I liked this idea. I watched the special features that they have on iTunes, and they hid so many Easter eggs in his office. I hope that they pay them off, but I like the idea that this guy is just jumping around the DC universe. Like, maybe he's been to Oa, maybe he's been to Apocalypse or something. I like that aspect of keeping him alive and having the Phantom Zone there may lead to us going into different areas here.
Yeah, I at first I was like, wait, that's kind of a cheat, right? But I was like, no, he's a good character. And then there was a lot of great emotional moments between him and...
Because
this show is about, like, you know, grandfathers and grandsons, right? Smallville is about, like, fathers and sons. This is about grandfathers and grandsons.
I didn't catch that either. You're totally right, man.
Yeah, because like it was a very emotional moment, like because when he was gonna get executed in the pilot, he's like, "Keep hoping for a better tomorrow," and then he falls off the thing, and then that's what Segel tells him to get sucked into the fans. I'm like, "Oh, cyclical, the feels, yep. right?"
Beautiful. Does that mean that Segel will ultimately meet his grandson?
I don't know. Predestination paradox. Do you think Superman will ever show up on the show?
I would hope so. Honestly,
who's gonna play him? You have three choices. You have three choices.
All right,
Tom Welling, Tyler, Brandon Routh, or Tyler Hoechlin.
Tyler, Ben, out of that.
But it's not in that continuity.
I know.
It's not any of those continuities.
If in order to just like do the wink to the fans of like someone that you'll like, I would love for them to bring Tyler in. That'd be fun.
Well, we know Tom Welling,
please, but that's
yeah. We know Tom Welling will never put on a Superman costume, so I guess he's kind of out, huh?
Oh, has he said that a bunch? What is this real quick about a Smallville animated thing that Kristen Kruick was talking about?
Well, and for more news, go to Krypton site. And you'll see all about it.
Of course.
Something that Rosenbaum and Welling talked about at AwesomeCon, the convention they were at that I went to. You might have seen all the pictures.
Anyway, I listened to the podcast.
I was there. It was a big deal. So Rosenbaum does a lot of voiceover work.
Yep.
Yeah, I know, right? He was the voice of the Flash in Justice League, and he still is in a lot of these DC projects. And he's like, "Tom, man, we need to do an animated thing. Bring Smallville back, and it's been an animated show. We just show up, man. Show up and have a good time and talk, and, you know."
Yep.
That actually would be perfect, because Welling would be like, "Oh, that's actually not too bad," because he wouldn't have to, like, you know, get in Superman shape and put on a costume, and of course Rosenbaum wouldn't have to shave his head.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have to worry about Bale. We could just recast some people, and that would be that.
Well, I mean, okay, let's just look that head on. You don't need Justin Hartley. He's on This Is Us. He's not available. He's too busy.
Right.
They can just go, "Hey, remember when Chloe and Oliver moved to Star City?" And then you're done.
Yep.
You're done. You're done. All you need is Erica Durant, and I'm sure she'd do it. So
yeah.
Then Michael McKean. We need Michael McKean. So
he can do it. He'll do it.
He can do it. He's a quirky guy. He'll do a voiceover. Yeah. So
yeah.
And then Annette O'Toole's his wife, so it's like you get both of them. And you're done.
That's what I'm saying. So get Annette in, and she'll drag him along like she did on the original show. So it'll be fine.
I would like it, but I don't know. Like if I would love to see that as an original series on DC Universe, that'd be great.
That'd be cool. Even like a limited, you know, 10 episode thing or something. That'd be cool.
One character we didn't mention.
Yes.
Is I can't remember his name, the Lionel Luthor of the show.
Darren Vex.
Darren Vex, worst dad ever. Worse than Lionel, right?
Worst dad ever. Such a little shit this guy. I loved how kind of sycophantic he becomes at the end, or just like he has no spine whatsoever. The minute he doesn't have power, he is groveling at people's feet. Like they bring Jack Surer into this show. She's a woman here, mm-hmm. but they bring like the Kryptonian terrorist that we've seen in different stuff.
You think she was gonna be Nissa's mom because of the hair?
Yeah, totally. And then I'm sorry, they talk to each other in front of like the Gene Codex or whatever the hell they call it.
The Codex, yeah, Man of Steel coming back.
There you go. Like, yeah, of course. She was about to say, like, "Look, we've cloned you all these many times, and it's my fault because I'm your mother." You know, we were so close to that, but it's fine.
The show, and you know, not to get too deep here, right? Because we're keeping it light. Show becomes interestingly pro-life, I would say, because it's like, this is my child, and he's not born yet, but I'm gonna protect him. And I was like, oh.
Yeah,
that's interesting and refreshing point of view. You know, I just did that kind of connected those dots there. I thought that was an interesting angle for them to take in the sci-fi Genesis Chamber Codex crazy sci-fi environment that they're kind of taking that approach. Because who is in that chamber? Is it Jor-El? Is it Zor-El? Which one's older? I don't know. People forget Zor-El exists. Poor guy.
I don't know.
Superman already had an evil uncle. His name was Zor-El. So I think he just becomes Zod, and we just.
I mean, that's easy. That's fine. Great. No, I loved that scene, and I didn't think of the quote unquote pro-life angle of it, but I loved that after this discussion with Jack Sir, where she's telling Nissa, like, "You're a clone. This is all garbage. I helped create it, but I wasn't supposed to, and it's all fake and it's kind of meaningless." And she still has that like motherly thing of like, mm-hmm. "I don't care what you say. This is my child."
I just think she's holding like a baby. A little,
yeah, this little glowing cocoon I have.
Yeah.
I'm now, gonna go protect it. I like that as the character beat of her just going. It's like if anybody's watched season one of Westworld, kind of that moment at the end of like, "No, I decide that this is important. So I decide think, that this is my child, and I'm gonna."
I really think she had the best character arc of the whole season.
Yep. We keep going back to her.
Interestingly enough. Yeah. talking about her being a clone, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think, because when Darren was gonna like get a shooter, I was like, damn, he's worst father in line, all right?
Yeah.
But maybe he was gonna do that knowing that there was like a whole stash of clones, right? Did that cross your mind?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, it's also, yeah, it's Darren Vex. Like you said, it's the Lionel. There was part of me that's just like, he might just shoot his
What
kid.
A weasel, man. What a weasel. Like, I love to hate this guy. He's so good.
There's also kind of the argument to be made of that one where he might have been thinking, well, this is ultimately this is ultimately a blessing I can give her because Brainiac's here. He's going to take over. We have no way to stop him. I might as well put her out of her misery before she even knows that she's in it, you know?
Right. He also looks exactly like Russell Crowe, which is very distracting. Considering Russell Crowe played Jor-El.
Jor-El, yeah. But he's more like Gladiator Russell Crowe after a hard day at the snack bar. You know, like that's all. Can we talk
about... all the characters are great. Like, I don't have one complaint about any of them.
No, me neither. In fact, I'd love to talk a little bit more about the actor that plays Brainiac /
Blake
the
Riston.
What's his name?
Blake Riston.
Do you know, like, anybody on this show besides...
No, and that's the thing. That's the thing about it. Usually you show, it's like, we got... Okay, like... For example, like that Mercy Reef Aquaman pilot. We got all these no names and Ving Rhames as so and so. You always get that one anchor, like, oh, that guy, right? This show has no that guy. And I applauded for that. Like, and Anthony Hopkins, right? As, you know, like you were saying, Westworld. None of that in this show. And hey, good for them. What's his name is on Game of Thrones, though? Val-El.
Oh, that's right. He is on Game of Thrones.
But he's not really a huge name or anything, but that's the only guy I've seen in anything ever before this. So, Colin Salmon doesn't come in until halfway through as Zod.
Right. So, but he's also nothing against Colin Salmon. He's not that. He's not Anthony
Hopkins. Neil before Walter. That's all I have to say to that.
See, Neil, he's always Robinson from Bond to me. Like, that he'll always be.
I didn't realize that until Arrow, and people were like, oh, yeah, from Bond. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I went back and watched the Brosnan Bonds. I'm like, oh, there he is. So, anyway.
Every once in a while.
This Brainiac guy, right? We see him as Voicerau. We see him as, like, the human cleaned up Brainiac, which is weird. And then we see him as, like, the mechanical green Brainiac at the end. It's like, whoa, we finally done it. Live action. Very impressive.
Very cool. And just the guy's line readings and choices that he's making, very interesting. It's robotic, but it's also a robot that's playing with his food. He's just enjoying what he's doing, you know.
Well, yeah, he seems very interested. He's like, oh, interesting. You know, when you have 28 known galaxy knowledge, you don't get surprised very often. 12th level intellect or something like that.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah, that was sweet. That was a mention that made me happy.
Yeah, and then the double in this, we get a double cross Brainiac Zod team up, right? In this, I mean, what a comic book world do we live in when we see this in live action? No,
we're lucky guys, you know.
Let's talk about though in the end with Brainiac, right? So
yeah,
he's still just the like agent of Brainiac, right? The big Brainiac still up on the skull ship, right?
Agreed. He is just like the boots on the ground Krypton version of Brainiac at that point.
So just because he gets sucked up into the Phantom Zone, spoilers. Why did I say that? Why did I bother saying that now? Just because he gets sucked up in the Phantom Zone, why does the ship leave and not take Kandor?
Because he had transferred his Bluetooth consciousness to that body alone, and I don't know.
So Blade Runner 2049 is what you're saying.
I haven't seen it, but sure, yeah, that.
Oh yeah, you'll definitely see, very good, better than the original.
I've heard that. I just haven't. I don't have 4 hours to put aside for it yet. But
well, when RoboCop Returns comes out, go see Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, right.
That's a plot hole for the finale for me. Honestly, I was like, oh, that's. I mean, that's a cool switcheroo there with the hologram and all that, like with Val, like the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, I guess that's where Superman gets that hologram technology in Superman 2. Right, were you screwing with the Zod and them? You know.
Turns out he's getting a lot of things from his great grandfather, even the fortress at this point.
But yeah, that was the one plot hole I didn't
catch that. It didn't bother me at all at the time, but now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. Why does the ship just kind of collapse after that?
Now Zod obviously came back in time to save Krypton,
right?
But he had some ulterior motives too, which was like to rule Krypton and to rule the galaxy. Apparently. So, because you almost sympathize with Zod. Here, this is General Zod, right? There's so many Zods running around. But then you're like, he is ultimately like a megalomaniac, and you give that guy power, he's going to take it all. So I thought that was, like, he's not, like, Terrence Stamp was a little cartoonish, a little, yes. Well, he was very cartoonish.
I think we're
Michael Shannon was understandable because of his motivations and stuff. Same thing with Callum Blue, you know, so, like, yeah. I liked how this, he was, like, well, three-dimensional here. He wasn't just, like,
Neil before Zod. Definitely humanized Callum Blue more than anybody else, you know, you felt for him at first.
And they really built up to Neil before Zod, last line of the season, yeah. Right? That was awesome, right?
That was good, yeah.
Every Zod has to say. Did Shannon say that? I don't think he did.
No, he never does.
Because they're like, we're getting away from that.
Yeah, we can't other interpretation. Have those fun parts you like in this movie.
Even the guy who was in Supergirl for 2 minutes said Neil before Zod.
Right. Well, how else will you know who he is? You know, that's
who's that blonde guy? What's this? Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, going into season two now. First of all, just the idea that we would see this big budget. It's on TV, but this really nicely done version of the bottling of Kandor is the coolest thing about this series. When I realized that's where we were headed at the end of this, mm-hmm. like that was awesome. And part of me feels like still at some point that ship's going to wake up and put Kandor in a bottle. Yeah,
they need to answer that because they fast forward like a month, you know, because it's like 1 month later and Zod's taken over like Krypton and then he's, you know, eventually going to take it. We see, well, Adam gets teleported to, he uses his Zeta beam to go to Earth.
Where? Earth that was then frozen by Brainiac, ultimately?
Yeah, because okay. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, because there's no Superman to stop him, I guess,
that's
right?
That's the big question for me, of like, where the hell is Adam? Is he just in a little bubble in the ship, you know?
Well, yeah, it must. Well, it's Detroit, all right, because that's where he's from. Right. I do like that. From the planet Detroit.
Yeah.
Planet Houston. Very good. There's a lot they could do with that plot line. I don't know what yet, but you know, there are obviously lots of things set up. Sega's stuck in the Phantom Zone. So so my prediction is he gets out, but he lets all these phantoms out, right? So the next season is just, he has to go around as Batista.
Yep. That sounds like Kane, my favorite part of that season. Great.
Little Bow Wow. So you get all these guys and then he has to fight a clone of himself at the end, who's just a little more bizarre. That's what I think is going to be the plot of season two of Krypton.
You know, it's never been done before. So why not give it a shot? I think that's
great. Right. Fresh ideas.
Yeah. I really like, we'll get into predictions and hopes later on, I guess, but that's, I hope they do something cool. I hope it's not just, we see him in the Phantom Zone for a bit and then he comes back out. Like,
well, they have a very interesting interpretation of the Phantom Zone here. Like,
yeah,
but you can see the present day, which is something they had established in the comic books, you know, like the end of Superman Birthright, where like, that was a great little moment. Versions of Mark Waid wrote Birthright. It came out in like 2003, I think.
Okay.
That's when they were, again, DC Comics always trying to reboot everything. But that was like a semi-reboot post-crisis. Okay. And like you see Jor-El and Lara see growing up Superman. And like, oh, they got to see their son made to Earth and he was okay. You know, I'm like, that's a nice little moment. So,
yeah.
But also like Zod's like, look, if you were ever there, you would know you would never want to go back. But he willingly goes back to get Val-El. And I thought that was cool. It's not just some like, the thing, the Donner movies is iconic because it's like this two-dimensional prism.
Right.
Smallville was interesting because we got to like see it. It's kind of a wasteland. But yeah, I am, with the budget they have on this show, I'm looking forward to seeing them. What they do with it.
I want it to be something like one of those crazy nebulas you see pictures of from space. Just like this weird esoteric nightmare land of clouds and smoke, and you don't even know if you're on the ground or floating or drowning, or you know, like that's kind of like my thought of it. It's just like this constant whirl of you have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Like the quantum realm in Ant-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, do you have any hopes and dreams for the season two? Like, do you have a thought of where this is all going? Because like I have questions.
I've thrown out all theories and all speculation. I'm just along for the ride, you know.
Yeah,
I think they've proven that they have a plan and they're really good. I mean, even the whole show shifted when it was like, oh, this is General Zod, right? About halfway through, that was like the big twist. And ever since then, I was like, this is full speed ahead. Except for that Adam episode, I was kind of okay, whatever. But everything else was so good around it, you know.
Yeah,
I'm down for whatever. Correct. Obviously, Sega's going to come back in, like, the first episode, right?
Obviously, yeah. But hopefully they'll course correct, too, on Adam now that they've seen the internet's reaction to him. Yeah. And, you know, like, that's still an element that can be saved here, you know?
Well, the whole plot line of Jaina and her brother, who we thought was dead, right?
Right.
And then you thought Zod was her brother, Walter Zod, right? Mm-hmm. No, and it's like, that's Zod. Like, okay, well, I guess her brother really is dead. And, like, no, he's still alive. And so we have that whole plot. We have, is Darren, I mean, he crashed, like, in the snow. I'm sure he'll be back.
He'll be fine, yeah.
Jaxer, Nyssa is with Jack Sir and the Fortress of Val-El because Jack Sir was her like teacher, so they've kind of had to reconnect it, so that's cool. So they got a lot of plans, and of course Doomsday breaks out at the end. So I guess they're going to use Doomsday to, I mean, how they fight Doomsday? Like, what does Zod do? Like, get the power of a yellow sun and get superpowers and fight Doomsday or something? I who knows?
He could, or we'll Phantom Zone him to somewhere. But, like, I liked the initial idea. Like, if, you know, if we do have to bottle Kandor at some point, I do like that plan of, like, all right, put him there. You know, like, let's evacuate the city and give him...
It makes a lot of sense.
Little baby Doomsday, you know? But
one thing I want to say is I think, you know, Nyssa's one of my probably favorite character. I'd say Janna as well because she's really smart. Like, when she was, like, talking to Zod, it's like, how did you escape Krypton's destruction? Like, that whole scene with her, like, figuring out, like, oh, you were in prison. And he's like, I wasn't on Krypton. It's like, well, where were you? I was like, oh, I was in the Phantom Zone. It's like, yeah, okay. So I'm really interested to see more of her in season 2 because she wasn't in the finale, which I was a little disappointed by. So.
Oh, was she not? No, I guess you're right. The last thing we see is her with the two-eyed brother.
Yeah, two-eyed brother.
Sorry, that's
obviously, you know, Doomsday, they're gonna have to deal with that immediately.
Yeah, that's gonna be the issue, which almost makes me think that will be a Phantom Zone save, and that's how we'll get Seg back into
they'll switch it.
Yeah, because nobody can fight him, right? Unless they make all our dreams come true, and all of a sudden the lanterns come in and just take care of him.
Well, I've heard rumors about lanterns and hawk people. You know, Hawkman, Hawk Girl.
Think about Thanagar. Yes.
So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm down. You know, I'm really this is, you know, I mentioned like The Flash 1990 way back then. So it's like literally this is my top 5 favorite superhero shows. I know it's
That's
only
awesome.
10 episodes of the first season, but I mean, this is awesome. Like, this is how you use storytelling these days, because it's like, look, we have a story, we're telling it. I mean, I love all these, you know, Arrow and all that, but it's like, all right, we got 22 episodes. Here's the one where Cupid comes back, and here's the flashbacks for Diggle, and I love Diggle or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, filler. You know?
You and I would not have podcasts without shows like that, you know?
That's true. Who am I to talk? I do freaking Smallville podcasts. It's going to take the next 10 years of my life, I swear to God.
And he's so happy about it.
But I love it. Anyway. Yeah, Lois and Clark's only 4 seasons, man. You're almost done.
Yeah, we're halfway there, man. It's about to get weird, though.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously, Lois and Clark is your favorite Superman show for many years. Smallville's my favorite Superman show. Would you dare say that this is your second favorite Superman show?
No, Smallville's my second favorite Superman show.
Sorry, this is my favorite. This is great. With all due respect to Lois and Clark, this is my favorite.
Yeah, no, I understand. This is great. I can't wait to see where it goes. I mean, like, I've already kind of gone full circle with this show of going from, God, never, to, yeah, it's great, and we should do a special weird podcast about it.
Right.
Yeah, it's got the potential. We'll see. There's also, look, the nostalgia thing is really strong. I grew up with Tom Welling's Clark Kent. You know, there's obviously that's not happening here, but I do like the different angle of the story. And I can't count it as a Superman show, though, unless I see Superman ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're kind of cheating because I'm like, I don't do a Superman special. I think of Superman. We got his cape, you know.
Right.
So
right.
People are like, dude, talk about Suicide Squad. No. First of all, that was a garbage movie I'm never going to watch again. Second of all, Superman's not in it, so I'm not going to talk about
it. He's dead.
That's right. But let's remember the lesson the heroes taught us. One good season can quickly turn into a very disappointing TV show. So let's just keep that in mind. I mean, it's the new, it's hot, it's fresh, you know. We're all on high about it, but
on the fresh Krypton.
Fresh new Krypton. Yeah. Who is Sci-Fi Channel, right? Doing it right.
Yep.
You know, finally they're coming back.
Finally.
I mean, I will say I have a complaint to file. They did not show the Twilight Zone this year for July 4th.
Did they not?
No. So they better keep showing on New Year's. That's a tradition.
I was gonna say that's my New Year's Day usually. Yeah.
Yeah. So they need to get, you know, we'll see. But they're taking steps in the right direction.
What happened
getting
to them
back
too?
To sci-fi.
Were you?
Well,
a
they couldn't. They
guy?
Couldn't copyright sci-fi. SCIFI.
Right.
So they Siffy. They went SIFI. SYFY. And the dumbification of America starts then. So.
Were you an old school sci-fi guy? Were you watching Battlestar back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Okay. Yeah. BSG. Yeah.
Yeah. The Busters.
So say we all. Am I right, brother?
Frack off, dude. But I feel like they haven't really... They dropped the ball after that. They tried
Yeah, like
Caprica.
10 years of nothing. Like, here's wrestling on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's like, what? Right. Excuse me? I mean, they showed Firefly, maybe Star Trek, but all that stuff is long gone off there. So
yeah. But it's good to see them kind of returning to form here. They were supposed to have that Blue Beetle show back in the day. Maybe they revived that.
Again, another announced DC project that did not come to pass. Shocking. Yep. Maybe that'll be on Blue on DC DC All Access. No, DC Universe.
Or maybe
is what it's called.
If Sci-Fi wants to put their own little DC Universe together of awesome, you know, space DC shows, I'm into it. Let's go.
Let's wrap it up here. Let's call it now. Do we see Superman? I know we mentioned earlier, but for the record, what's your prediction? Do we ever see him on the show?
Before the end of the show, Segel not only meets Kal-El, but meets Superman.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, they have to do that, right? Because he has to, like,
understand. He has to see what all of this pain was for.
And, you know, in the first episode, he's like, this is like a journal to his son or to his grandson.
That's right.
So he this isn't spoilers, I guess he lives, but this is like his recollection of all that, and like, you know, do not open until 1985 or whatever, right?
Right.
So you talk about that's a good call, the Beauty and the Beast rose. I was thinking the picture, the Marty McFly picture of his family. So.
Totally. And we're so Back to the Future time rules here that absolutely applies.
I'm just really excited that we love this show.
Yeah, me too. Do you, okay, weird question, and then we can sign off here. Do you think he will help put Kal-El in the ship?
No, they're not going to pull Smallville where Clark and Kara put
the worst.
Like, did Brainiac kill Jor-El Lara in Apocalypse? So they had, oh my god, I don't even know. Well, talk about time travel shenanigans. No, I think, I don't know, but I think you still got to have Jor-El. And
yeah, you're right. And we can't, I guess we can't let Sekel become a 60-year-old man before the show ends, too.
Well, it's 200 years before Kal-El's born.
Right.
And if he's, like, 25 now.
So.
Do Kryptonians live longer? Are they, like, Vulcans?
Yeah, is that what we're saying here? And that's also why he ages slowly and blah, blah, blah?
Sure.
Okay. Well, now that we've gotten to the end of that.
No idea. I'm interested to see how they, I hope they get the heads up from Sci-Fi, like, hey, this is going to be your last season, your last episode, because I want them to, like, be able to shoot the last episode properly,
right,
where it all ties together. And I'm like, oh, well, we were going to buy our tie-in comic and read it on DC Universe to the last, you know.
So. Krypton, season 11, let's go.
That's a great idea. Those all better be on there. Well, season 11.
Yeah, have you even read those? I don't know.
Oh, I owe them all. I don't read them digitally, you know, but I buy them.
Got you.
Like old school.
There's good parts in there.
So yeah, Krypton, right? Krypton. Thought we were gonna hate it. Loved it. Well done, DC.
Yeah.
Well done, Sci-Fi. Too bad we can. Since we're never gonna get a Superman movie, apparently, Matt, this is as close as we're ever gonna get. So how about that?
Let's wait till it's just a hard reboot on anything before we get another Superman movie.
Okay. Really though. Last thing to tie it all together. Metropolis.
Right.
It was going to be this pre Superman Metropolis show on DC Universe, right? And then it got delayed and retooled, and I think they might be reconsidering that because people are like, "Really, guys? Like Lex and Lois in Metropolis before Superman? Like, do we really want to have another Gotham on our hands?" And I know that's what we said about this show, but I don't see the angle they can take on that can make it as creative as this one.
No, it's just they keep making these Superman shows before that take place before the cool part. Again, we just did an hour or so on how awesome it worked here, but
such hypocrites. Like, that's garbage. Don't do it.
I know.
Your show was the last one, man. Lois and Clark, the last one we actually had a Superman show with, God forbid, Superman appearing in it. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. Is there any Superman on these Superman shows?
One of the last, Jurassic Park reference. The only real hardcore actual superhero show at the time. And then Arrow happened. And
hardcore. I would not call Lois and Clark.
I did not mean hardcore. True, you know, like honest.
Right.
That guy was in
late 90s. Took us through those
every week.
Yep. The Clinton era. Yeah. So
did what they can. Anyway.
Oh.
Hey, dude. Thanks for doing this. I'm glad we got to touch base on Krypton real quick.
This was fun. I guess. Hey, let's throw out there. What letter grade scale? Right. What would you give Krypton? The season one.
Season. It's an A. Solid A. I'm not gonna go crazy with an A+, but yeah, I can't wait to see more.
Exactly the same. A+ is like, I don't even know what that's reserved for, but a solid A for this show, and I'm very excited to see where it goes from here, and I have no idea what they'll do next, and that's so many shows these days are like, ugh, well, who's going to be faster than Barry this season on The Flash, right? It's like, so you know, like, what new Archer is Oliver going to fight, you know, so anyway, and not to put those shows down, I mean, they do what they do well, but this is refreshing, exciting, this is like must-see TV, like, I'm really like, okay, I got to watch this, but like, it's... Krypton was on. I was like, I made sure I watched it within a couple of days because, like, I wanted to make sure that I was up to speed. So
that you were fresh on it. Cool. Yeah, I can't. You know, now that we've kind of done the story element of Bottle City of Kandor, I'm interested to see what the next big things will be. Is it going to be that now we find out about aliens? Is it going to be, you know, the planets erupting and there's this green stuff that's hurting us? You know, like I'm looking forward to all that stuff coming to the surface here.
So I hope for many more years of Krypton and many more Superman specials about it.
Amen, man. But till then, I don't know, Lois and Clark coming back at the end of August, if everybody's into it, we'll find out what Lois Lane says to Clark Kent's proposal, guys.
And the answer is...
yeah. Everyone's, you know, really bated breath on that one. Yeah. We'll find out. How about you, man? How are things in Kansas?
Yeah, man. Small one. We'll be back next week talking about some episodes. Cool. I want to get this podcast done before I turn 40. So we're going to try, you know, live a life, man. You know, life happens, you know.
Hey.
I love podcasts, but I also love, like, taking care of my responsibilities.
Yep.
Well,
only podcast,
you know, sometimes.
When it's fun and you can.
Some responsibilities you want to do, some you don't. But anyway, life happens. At some point, I will settle into doing this weekly again. I've settled into this pattern of, okay, here's a month of episodes, guys. And I'll be back in a month, you know.
I mean, throwing it out there for you, neither of us are charging for our free podcast where we talk about Superman and have fun. So I think you can take your time and have as much life as you need to have, man.
All right. Noted.
Yeah.
So you listen, you hear that, fans?
You have verbal permission here on this site. There you go.
All right. Matt Truex Esquire has given me permission. So. But yeah, if you want to find us out there, we're at Always Smallville on Twitter with Wes.
Yep.
You can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach, MoreOnZach.
And we're on everything at Lois and Clark, at Lois and Clark Pod, different things like that. Instagram. We had a fun summer. We went and visited the Warner Brothers studio out here where they shot all of Lois and Clark. So check out pictures of us running around in front of the Daily Planet on our Instagram right now.
All right. Well, until next time, always hold on to... fill in the blank.
Yeah. Fuck off, everybody. You don't talk.